Saturday, March 16th.
Live from the storage closet.
Coming to you from Bitcoin Grove, this is Chimp.
And this is Captain Brunch.
On another Saturday Night Lit. And we are back.
This is Miami, the city of Miami, here in the little Bitcoin Grove storage closet. How you doing, Chimp?
No, just a little bit late because the show mysteriously disappeared on us.
Well, I mean, there was multiple things. It was also like we had to set up everything kind of from scratch because I had broken everything down. And so, you know, but here we are. We're only 18 minutes late. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. We set the rules because this is Lit Podcasting 2.0 podcast, which means that, you know, we actually, for people who listen on a modern podcast app like a Fountain or what are some of the other ones?
Podcast Guru, Podcast Addict, not yet.
Yeah, Podcast Addict doesn't have the value, right. Which that's a whole discussion to have right now too.
They have chapters, they have a lot of stuff.
So I'm about to renew my Podcast Addict like pro subscription. It's like once a year.
You did that?
And I'm thinking about not resubscribing.
Ooh.
Because they have not integrated value for value.
Let them know.
And I feel like I need to switch to one that has integrated value for value.
Send a letter.
I probably will, maybe.
A letter of disapproval.
You know, it's another one of these things that, like, I'm so, I hate to change my habits, you know? So it's like, it's going to take like a real commitment for
me to
do this.
But they make it so easy. You just export it into an OPML file. And then you import it as an OPML file.
But like, I feel like some of the things you don't get, maybe I'm wrong.
You are.
Stuff like the podcast that I've already listened to, like the history.
Oh, well, yeah, that you're stuck.
And that's one a big thing for someone like me is that, you know, my Podcast Addict account has all of like the podcasts I've listened to for years now. So, you know.
So podcasts that are ongoing or podcasts that you've completed?
Both.
Okay, because the completed ones, you just delete from your list.
No, I don't. I like to leave them there. So like Podcast Addict has this button where you can see things that have already completed that are usually hidden.
So it's like your digital library. You have shelves and shelves of finished podcasts.
Yeah. And so it's kind of cool. But you know, for some reason, they have not jumped onto the value for value stuff. And I just feel like that would be a way for them to, like, they could have made more money from me by doing that than just this little, like, maybe it's like 10 bucks a year or something. Like if they were to take like 1% of the zaps that I would be doing.
Zaps? Did you say zaps?
Oh my God, I did say zaps, but it's because, you know me, I'm so enmeshed.
Oh my God, you said zaps. Get the heck out of here.
It's because I'm so enmeshed in the Noster stuff.
Yeah.
I want to start checking out Noster Nests, which is, Noster Nests, it's a client, a Noster client, but for doing like audio, audio-based like rooms. So, you know, like a live audio room where people are talking, kind of like a Twitter Spaces or a Clubhouse, if you're familiar
Noster
with those things.
Noster Nests.
Yeah, Noster Nests.
I wasn't done talking about podcast apps.
Oh, you weren't? What else did you want to say about it?
Well, I'm using Pocket Casts, which, I mean, I'm subscribed to them. I like that they just started using more podcasting 2.0 stuff. They haven't integrated value for value, but they do have chapters and stuff like that now. I wasn't going to resubscribe, but I forgot to. And, you know, I'm in for another year and they raised the price.
Oh.
I know, but I still use Podverse for my value for value shows.
So Wavelake is apparently integrated with both Noster and with podcasting 2.0.
Oh my.
So that's kind of interesting. So they have an RSS feed, but they also like have a relay where the, you know, like the individual posts, I suppose, get submitted to this relay. So the web app, I think they said, or the app on your phone or something of Wavelake is a Noster client. And it, you know, I'm kind of interested to look a little more into it because like Wavelake is one of these apps that is kind of more geared towards musicians and posting music. So I think like Adam Curry has gotten a lot of the songs that he'll play on the Boostergram ball from Wavelake, at least maybe in the early days. So I think that there's a thought that was kind of interesting. And then Wavelake, I think, was the platform that was used to no, was it like to do one of the live streams maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No,
and then I think Fountain was one of the other ones. But
the only thing with Wavelake is that I think you can't self-host. It has to be all hosted through them.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because again, it's a relay, right? So they need to have the content posted to them. I'm going to need to look a little more into it maybe at some point, but just another podcasting 2.0 kind of thing that, and I like the fact that specifically that they're integrating with Noster, because I'm very interested in sort of like those cross-platform things that kind of bridge the divide between these different spaces that are both independently and in parallel working on sort of like freedom technologies.
And if you don't want to download an app, I would go to truefans.fm.
Truefans.fm. Is that a progressive web app?
Yes, it is. Cool. The one by Sam Sethi, and he's going hardcore on all the podcasting 2.0 tags that are being put out. So you could test it out on truefans.fm, do some value for value.
Like, would that play audio when I close my window, like when I turn off my phone screen?
That's a great question. Hopefully, I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't. Because
I'm going to have to do some experimenting. Ugh, I'm going to have to take the time to like check out some.
What I do on my phone is like I'll play it and then I'll put the web browser into the background and that'll turn it off. But then you swipe from the top and then hit play again and then it's sitting in the background. You can turn it off and turn it on. You're fine.
You'd have to show me. I don't really know what you're talking about. Like, I'm boomering out right now.
Oh, God.
I'm aging out. Oh, no.
So the browser shouldn't stop you from doing it, but the website can stop you from doing it. Like,
yeah.
YouTube Music doesn't allow you to do that because they want you to download the app.
Yeah, or to pay for the extra stuff. Oh, no, I do use the app. I definitely use the app. So how was the Dune in 5D?
5D, 4DX.
Whatever.
It's a trademark, man. You got to like
okay.
Show respect.
We're not Regal. Sponsored. I don't need to show respect for shit.
It was a lot of fun. Actually.
So tell us, so start from the start. So like, tell us a little bit, you know, like, so we were talking about how the fact that this is a theater.
So Dune is a movie.
Okay.
He said from the start. Back in 1960. No, it was really cool. It was like,
were the chairs like reclining?
Big, I felt like I was at a Disney, like, you know, it was
in a ride, like a Disney ride kind of thing.
Yeah, like the old Spider-Man ride or whatever.
Oh, wow.
So the chairs look cool. The chairs weren't super comfortable. They were comfortable enough, but you know, like I've been to theaters with more comfortable chairs.
Yeah.
But
because the focus is not necessarily on the comfort. Like, they're not trying to make you uncomfortable, but they're trying to enhance your experience with all this like extra stuff.
Exactly. So like, let's say you're like, let's say the scene is like you're coming up on a dune or something, or like, you know, it's like the perspective changes up or down. The seat will slightly tilt backwards, like you're falling back, or it'll fall forward. Or
I mean,
to
so
the
you'll
side.
Have to like tilt your head in a different direction, like up or down, to be able to see the screen properly.
No, because it's just enough for you to feel it.
Uh huh.
You know, that's the more subtle stuff. And then they have, you know, a giant explosion, and the entire thing shakes like crazy.
And then, like you said, it shoots air. So like, will it shoot like hot air?
So there's fans at the top of the theater.
Are the fans like, noisy?
No, I didn't really hear them. I mean, the movie's pretty loud.
So uh-huh.
I can, like, everything is quiet. Yeah, you'll hear it, but a lot of people aren't paying attention to that. The thing I thought was kind of lame was the fog machine, which could have been cool, but it's, you know, like it's all the way at the front of the theater and it's just one little fog machine and it's just kind of like this little plume of smoke in the middle of the screen. It's kind of like, okay.
It's just like fogging the screen pretty much if it's just one machine.
It'd be better if it was more on the sides and stuff to give it more effect, but I guess, you know, whatever. There's probably a reason for that.
They suck. That's the reason for that.
Like, you know, it's a 3-hour movie. So even though I really enjoyed it, I think it was worth taxing. It was worth the $30, I would say. But yeah, for 3 hours, like you get tired of the shaking. At some point, it's like I'm digging my feet.
It's a 3-hour ride. Like, instead of having to wait 3 hours to get on the ride, like you just go in and you're in the ride for 3 hours. Like, that's right. Funny.
And then there's the occasional like water that jizzes on you, and you're like, what the fuck? I think it's supposed to be a spray, but it was
supposed to be a mist, but it clogged up.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, because if they don't like regularly clean it out, like then deposits in the water, you know, like mineral deposits will build up in the nozzles. That's funny.
So you know, bring a jacket if you're going to go to 4DX. Because if you're like me and sensitive to the cold, it's, you know, the wind's blowing on you. You're going to be like,
yeah. Yeah, you're wearing a coat, you're wearing a jacket right now, and it is pretty kind of windy right here.
So, I mean, I think that's kind of interesting. I thought about like someone sitting there and designing the ride, because it's basically a ride for yeah. the movie. So that seems kind of fun. And, you know, there's half an hour previews. I've complained about this before.
Oh, my God.
And, oh, the 4DX only worked for one of the previews for the Ghostbuster one.
Another Ghostbusters movie.
Another Ghostbusters. I guess they're trying to make up for the last one.
Uh-huh.
But
the one with the women.
The one with the women. I mean, I guess it sucked. I don't know. Women or not, I guess it just sucked. No idea. So obviously the thing is designed for the movie, which to me is kind of cool. Like someone sitting there and actually planning it out. How much thought they actually put into that.
Yeah. And like how well they know how to use all the stuff. And obviously, as you said, like the water was not the most pleasant experience.
It was interesting though, because at least this theater, they weren't checking tickets. We literally just walked in and went straight to the theater.
Uh-huh.
I find that kind of odd. Maybe because it was late, maybe because it was a weekday.
Maybe
but
they've got some like advanced facial recognition surveillance.
You know, probably.
What? But no sound. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Are we recording?
Yes, we're recording.
What am I doing wrong here? It's my...
JFC. Well, the output's probably messed up since we had to create the new show.
How about now? I think now there's going to be sound. It's the stupid... Because basically I opened the broadcaster. How about now?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so that was my mistake, and I apologize to anyone who may have missed. I guess who didn't miss.
That was my mistake, and I apologize to.
Okay, can you not do this to me? You're gonna freak me out.
That was my mistake, and I apologize.
Inception.
He says Chip is softer, so why don't you harden yourself?
God.
Yeah.
I gotta harden myself.
Yeah,
okay.
Panda, I'm always harder. I don't know what to say. It's like my Brazilian blood.
It's my... Okay, I think I'm good.
All right. That's very glad to hear that.
Hello. All right.
So he says it sounds better now. I wanted to mention, since Panda brought it up and asked us to talk about it. So in the last week or so, we've had Bitcoin is at an all-time high. Really? No, I don't hear you at all.
Really?
Okay. Yes, really. It went over 70,000. It went to like 70. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It went to 70 something thousand.
Really?
Yeah. And, but it has, what he called it, but Panda called it a correction, and now it's around 65,000. But he says the high was 73,835. Yeah. You know, we'll see. Bitcoin's going to do whatever Bitcoin's going to do.
Wow. Brunch is talking about the price. All right. So how does that make you feel?
Panda,
how does it make you feel, Brunch?
It doesn't make me feel any way or the other. I brought it up for Panda, who has been a longtime listener of the show.
Do you prefer it to be at 73 or 65?
It makes no big difference to me. At 65, it's a little cheaper to buy.
Are you in the market for buying Bitcoin?
You know, a little bit. Here and there sometimes, you know.
You haven't been DCAing this whole time?
What whole time?
Since 2012.
Since 2012. No, I haven't. That's for sure. I probably wouldn't be here doing this show.
Damn. So if you were rich, you're like, I wouldn't be with these peasants.
No, but, you know.
These sats. I count my Bitcoin.
I don't think I'll ever be rich, Bitcoin. Though. I have like a philosophy that precludes me from being rich. And that's basically to spend all my money. As long as I keep spending all my money, I can't be rich. You need to have money to be rich. I guess if I keep buying stuff that like have value or that are valued, I suppose it's another way, you know, like probably not though. I keep buying like books.
That's a weird kind of hell. Somebody who desperately wants to be poor keep spending all their money, but they just keep getting richer. and they can't get away from being rich, no matter how much money they just splurge, and that's their own hell.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's not really what's happening to me.
That's what it sounds like.
I'm not in hell. I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying my life. You know, I want to read a quote, actually, since we're kind of on the subject. It's something that Fractal Encrypt, an artist, wrote and on Twitter, on the Twitters, on the Dead Bird app. He goes, quote, "My entire investment portfolio is in art supplies. Invest in yourself, then put in the work. Save in Bitcoin. Anything else and you're living someone else's dreams."
Someone else's dream.
Yeah, so I responded saying, interesting take. I guess I would like to say that my investment portfolio is all in hand tools, save in Bitcoin. Because I do believe in that. I believe, you know, like put in the work and invest in yourself. Like what's the point of being rich? Just live richly. Live a fulfilling and enjoyable life and have good memories and
join the military.
Oh God, that's a whole other discussion. Like I was telling Chimp about a former student who was telling me that they're going to join the army. And, you know, I'm pretty much just against that altogether. Like, but you know, I don't hold it against someone if they decide to join the military. And I have a certain level of respect for veterans and people who do go ahead and join.
Fascism.
What?
People who support fascism?
They don't support fascism. I mean, they are, it's more like they are cogs in the machine of fascism. Like, is that support? I don't know.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Yeah, so let's just blow our brains out.
If you want.
No, I mean, I tend to be I'm pretty nihilistic about these kinds of
things.
Did
you bring your pneumatic gun? Literally blow our
pneumatic
brains.
Gun. No, I don't have a pneumatic gun. So this week, I helped out with sound at the Swan Salon, which is a private, you know, I think I've mentioned it before because I've done it before. It's a private event put on by Swan for their high end clients, I guess. I don't know the right word, but private clients, something. I don't know the phrase because I'm not a Swan customer and I don't know their product packages, but for whatever reason, you know, I'm somehow like looped in as a volunteer to like do sound for this.
For whatever reason, you volunteered talent and equipment.
The quid pro quo was pro quo was that I was able to spend a few minutes like promoting things. So I promoted Bitcoin Brunch, Bitcoin Grove, and Bitcoin Day Miami. So I promoted all those things.
Did you talk about your essays?
No.
You should have read an essay.
No, I didn't have that kind of time. It was the whole thing was kind of awkward. And you know, I mean, I was kind of anxious about the whole thing because like the guy who was putting on the event was standing right next to me, like right next to me. And, cause it wasn't like, there wasn't like a stage per se. It was,
man, you had control of the sign. You should have just done whatever you wanted, man.
Of course. But you know, I wasn't like in that kind of an emotional state. I was, you know, I was feeling,
you're bowing to the fascists.
I was being like beta, you know?
You're bowing to the fascism. What fascists did you see there?
I don't even. Oh my God! From that conversation from the other day, that's so funny. I'm trying to fix my like fucking audio. I mean, for my power situation, I'm afraid I'm going to lose. I have enough power, but like I'm just paranoid because my little power thing fell out, my power strip.
So speaking of, what are you going to finish your thing?
Yeah, there was more, but I mean, I can come back to it if you want something on your mind.
You know, just speaking of high-end clients, the financial institution I work for has a high-end client, a CEO of Harbor Freight, who got defrauded. Basically, some...
Should you be saying these things?
Well, who do I work for?
Some big financial institution.
Anyway, dude's information got like... But it was to the card.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like a bunch of money that was just like, I mean, obviously we paid for it because it turns out it was our fault.
Oh, wow. Really?
And it was more like a lesson. It was a lesson like, you know, when these fraudsters call in, they get little bits of information over time. And we're actually listening to the calls and seeing how, like, at first, like, somebody will be like very cautious, like, oh, this seems kind of weird. But then as longer the call is, they're just like, okay, I'm just going to help you. And they're just like giving out information.
Yeah.
And I just found it really interesting. It was just like, damn.
It reminded me of I don't remember what podcast I heard it on, but it was about a technique. Oh, I think I heard it on We Are Not Wrong. And they were talking about, was it You're Not Wrong? But basically it's a sales technique where the salesman will constantly like, kind of like leave you for a few minutes. Like, oh, well, let me go check on this thing. And, oh, let me just go make a quick call to double check. Or, oh, let me leave you alone for a few minutes and let you think about that. And then they just keep coming back. And then the more times they can do that, they start to develop kind of like this. You develop a trust with them because in a short period of time, you've seen them like several times. And so for some reason, your brain trusts someone that you've seen several times. And so maybe it's something similar to that. Like maybe
that definitely makes sense. Like, yeah, like being put on hold. Mm-hmm. Like this guy is trying to figure out the password to the thing and he's trying multiple times. But then also there's the fact that like, you know, like this company based you on your metrics, like your how long you're on the phone. So after a while, the person's kind of like, all right, I need to get off this call already.
Yeah, they're succumbing to these different pressures, but that's social engineering, right? Like yep. The person is trying to get you to cave in and to succumb to the pressures.
And it says it's called the seven touches and not what your counselor did to you.
What?
The seven touches.
What are the seven touches?
Well, probably talking about that salesman technique.
Interesting. I mean, there's like a million different techniques. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, Panda. Did you see Panda say that? That's what he says. He called it.
It's I just
called
said the seven Panda touches. Said it's oh. called the seven touches.
Yeah, okay, so.
Over here, Brunch, over here.
Come yeah, on, yeah, come on, yeah. Come on. Your eyes are up there, right? So at the Swan Salon, the special guests, they had some special guests. They were, as you already know, Chimp, because I sent you a picture, was Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert of the Kaiser Report fame and the Max and Stacey Show fame and Orange Pill podcast. So that was cool. I was like happy that I got to do audio for them. And like when I was doing my presentation about the, you know, like the few minutes that I was talking, like I was standing right next to Stacey Herbert. So that was kind of cool. And she was like smiling super big the whole time as if she was like happy to hear some guy talk about like local Bitcoin efforts. So that was kind of cool.
That's touching. Sweet.
Yeah.
A performer never stops smiling.
Yeah, good for her. She's smart. Yeah, they're good performers. Like this is one thing I will say about Max and Stacey. And I had to tell Max after because it's the only like relevant thing I could have said to Max and not be a fanboy.
Right.
Was like, wow, you know, you handle your microphone really well. So like Max had one of the microphones that had an on and off switch. He would turn it off
Nice. Every
single time he took it away from his mouth.
Love it.
And then as soon as he would bring it back up, he would turn it back on again.
He's a pro.
The guy who was interviewing them, I won't mention their name. This guy like kept getting feedback and he kept like pointing the mic in the wrong direction. And it was just like, ugh, ugh. And Stacey.
Who let them know on stage?
He was like some Swan guy, you know, like some high up at Swan. And at one point, Stacey even said to him, like, have you ever interviewed someone before?
Damn.
He definitely pulled through, like, by the end of the interview. But, yeah, they were.
How did this person take to that? They just laughed nervously?
Yeah, they just had, yeah. Because, I mean, it wasn't the kind of situation where, like, you could just cry and like, run home. Like, no, like, you got to get through this whole thing. Like, this is your job, bro. This is your job. Yeah, so, you know, it was nice. I used it. The audio wasn't the best in the world. It took me a few minutes to, like, get everything figured out because I'm not much of an audio technician, but I was using the Rodecaster, able to get it to work out. And I was proud of myself. Everyone was able to hear. I could hear. And so that was cool.
And they paid you handsomely.
Yeah, right. Next time I will probably ask for money if I don't have anything to promote, right? But if I have things to promote, then I'll just do it and promote. But I will definitely promote better now that, like, I kind of, like, in retrospect, looking back and seeing, like, I was much more nervous than I needed to be. And it wasn't nervous because I was, like, talking to a bunch of people, because I'm not nervous about that. It was just more about nervous about, like just even though I was doing them a big favor.
Right.
You know, just like, oh, you know, am I asking for too much? Am I doing, you know, whatever.
What are you going to do? Ask you not to come back?
Yeah. Like, it's no sweat off my
Excuse
back.
Excuse me, sir. You need to leave right now.
But they were, you know.
But please leave your speakers.
Yeah. I mean, they were nice about it. They were nice. And I had a good time. I got to meet a bunch of people. Several people came up to me afterwards and asked me about Bitcoin brunch. And that was cool. I invited a bunch of people to Bitcoin brunch. And that's, you know, that's nice.
So tomorrow should be a huge turnout. Max and Stacy will be there.
I highly doubt that.
Let's
that
spread
hilarious.
The rumor right now. Yeah. Max and Stacy are coming to Bitcoin brunch March 17th, 2024.
Yeah. So that was Wednesday. Thursday, we had a couple events here over at Bitcoin Grove. So at 6 p.m., we had the Understanding Bitcoin Source meetup, which is hosted by Randy. And he does stream that on Twitch. So if you can't make it in person, you can watch that live over the internet. And on this particular instance, Randy was talking about mempool transaction validation. So he was talking about the process by which a Bitcoin node running Bitcoin Core determines whether a transaction that's submitted to the mempool is valid or not. So that's kind of interesting. I didn't capture all of it, but there was just a bunch of, you know, technical stuff. And I am appreciating, you know, starting to deepen my technical understanding of Bitcoin. Because it's, you know, Randy doesn't necessarily spend the whole time talking about code, but I mean, yes, he does spend the whole time talking about code, but he doesn't spend the whole time just like reading code. He'll spend some of the time reading code and the rest of the time will be talking about the code or the reverse order. He'll like explain what the code is doing. And then once we kind of have an idea, he'll look at the code to kind of show us like, look, see, this is where this was doing that. And that was doing this.
That's cool.
So like that's really nice. And so that was from, 6 to 7-ish, I think. And, I'm really glad that Randy's doing it.
I would catch that live, but I mean, I have to ask, like, is anything really live on the internet? Like, there's a lag.
Oh, chimp, shut up. What are you on about? Like, what point are you making right now other than trying to frustrate me? So, you check it out. It's like it's twitch.com/... I don't even know. You join the join the Bitcoin
Great
Grove
promotion.
Telegram or the Bitcoin Grove...
I'm sorry, Randy. he's been drinking.
Discord server. And you'll be able to find out about these, you know, the meetup. And if you want to watch the live stream, but you should definitely come in person because it's nice to come in person and to, you know, be able to like talk to someone face to face. It's just, I like those kinds of things. So that was from 6 to 7. And then maybe it was like until 7:30. And then we started BitDevs number 27. So Roz is out of town. He's in Austin. He's doing something with like the, I think they were calling it Bitcoin Takeover. It's like something related to South by Southwest. Like they're, you know, it's like a satellite event or whatever. So we had the BitDevs number 27, which was pretty cool. It was one of the first BitDevs where they actually, or one of the, I think it's the only BitDevs, the Miami BitDevs, that they went through the whole topic list. usually they're like not able to cover all the topics because it can get pretty, deep, it can get pretty heated. So that's cool. That reminds me of one of the pieces of news that I mentioned at BitDevs was that Craig Wright. Wow, that was this.
Whoa.
Well, it'll make more sense
another
in context,
one.
Right?
Oh my God.
Craig Wright was found. He was found by a judge to not be Satoshi Nakamoto. And the judge found like a bunch of other stuff and it's a preliminary judgment. They haven't submitted like their final judgment, which is going to be a long report. But so that's kind of cool. It seems like it's the end of an era. A lot of people are having to like eat their words and
lose bets.
Yeah. And
so do you think he's really going to go away, or?
I don't think he's going to go away because he's still got lawsuits and he's going to have to, like, they're recommending that charges be pressed against him for perjury because from my understanding, the guy was submitting like false documents throughout the entire case.
Nice.
So, you know, and they were just trying to like blame it on a conspiracy to basically screw him over. And it's like, it was just pathetic.
So it's like the Trump of crypto.
I mean, way worse, like way worse in terms of, you know,
in terms of like litigation.
Yeah. Cause he, you know, his whole thing was he was suing people and trying to sue Bitcoin developers, like open source developers, to force them. The idea being that if he would win in court, they should be forced, by like a court order to perform certain tasks in the Bitcoin source code. So, that's just something I wanted to mention that I did mention at BitDevs. And, you know, so this was kind of like the end of an era, but it's the beginning of a new era. And it's the era of now Craig Wright, like, eating shit for a long time. Because he's going to have to deal with, you know, like, this. It's not over now. So now he has to wait for the final judgment. But, you know, like, is he going to be charged with perjury? Probably. That's, well, people think so. I don't really know. I don't even know what jurisdiction the court case was, so I'm just kind of talking out of my ass. While I was at BitDevs number 27, I did get a message from Roz, who is in Austin, and he mentioned that Yopaki.com won Pleb Lab Top Builder. So Yopaki, Yopaki.com.
Let's hear it for Yopaki.com.
So let's see. Simplifying Bitcoin and finance, creating a new era of access to Bitcoin and other financial services. Your Bitcoin neobank. With Yopaki, you can easily buy, sell, and manage Bitcoin alongside a diverse portfolio of financial instruments such as ETFs, stock commodities, and CETES, all within a single, seamless platform. Play Bitcoin Lotteria. Run the chance to win free Bitcoin every day with the first ever Lotteria game of its kind. Join the wait list. What is the jurisdiction of this thing? I think this is like, I don't remember like what market this was for. Because I feel like, I watched a bunch of videos from Pleb Lab and I was a little surprised that this one won, but I guess maybe I shouldn't be too surprised. Some of our friends were competing. So, you know, Derek's LN Play was competing. They got eliminated, you know, in the first round or second round, and then also Resolver was eliminated in the second round, unfortunately. But you know, I wasn't really expecting them to win because this is really kind of the top builder was really geared towards trying to, regardless of what they might say, I mean,
make people money.
They're all nice guys, but yeah, but it's about making money. They were looking for a startup that could be a viable business. And you know, whatever, they got to do what they got to do. I'm not a VC, I'm not an investor, other than investing my time and buying tools. those are my investments. Also wanted to mention this project that Alex Svetsky did. I mention Satlantis last week?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So that's a cool name. Satlantis.
Yeah, but what I wanted to talk about, I guess, this week really was the fact that I'm talking with Matteo Pellegrini, who's the creator of Orange Pill app, which is basically a social network for Bitcoiners. It's a subscription social network for Bitcoiners. So you can either pay like a yearly fee or you can pay for a lifetime subscription. So I maybe mentioned like months ago that I got a lifetime subscription to Orange Pill app. And
no.
I think it was because of Mel, maybe, like my friend Mel. And whatever, they've, you know, little by little, they've upgraded the app. So in the beginning, it was just like kind of a distance-based like list of people like who had profiles. And, you know, they could put pictures of themselves or pictures of whatever, and they can fill in their profile to talk about themselves. And you could theoretically connect with Bitcoiners like wherever you go. And then they implemented group chats. And they've recently implemented like merchants. So, you know, they're continually trying to increase the utility of the application for its users. And that's cool. But Setlantis, on the other hand, is going to have like an ad revenue model where they're trying to encourage people, like the ambassadors, like, so theoretically I'm going to be an ambassador. So they're trying to encourage the ambassadors to put a lot of value in their city page so that their city page will drive ad sales. And then like the ambassadors will share in the revenue of the ad sales or something like that. I mean, I don't, you know how I generally feel about ads. So
wait, so you're going to have an ad, so you're going to have a page or a city page, I guess, based on the Time Chain Foundation. Well,
Miami, so Miami's going to have a city page.
Oh, okay.
And then like, so all the different locations can have several ambassadors.
And why are you doing this?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, I do everything that like just gets thrown at me. Like,
you're a
just,
shill.
Just try and check it out. Gotcha. Shill. I mean, what am I shilling?
Ambassador Prem. Ambassador Brunch. So you're a captain by day, ambassador by night?
Well, I mean, I can be both, right? Can I be a captain ambassador? You know, like, is that a Commodore? I don't know. There's like a word for that, but, the idea is that like in a city like Miami, there would be multiple ambassadors because it's a pretty big city. And so, you know, there's a bunch of people who, you know, who I probably already know who would start working on it. Okay. So, I want to mention, the fact since, tomorrow's Bitcoin brunch, but one of the things that I did mention at the Swan Salon is that on March 31st, as I mentioned last week, and as I've mentioned before, March 31st is going to be the 150th Bitcoin brunch. The 150th Bitcoin brunch. So I'm, you know, I'm looking for, I am probably not going to reach my goal of 100 essays by March 31st. But I've done 82 so far.
You're still at 82? Oh my God. Well, that's awesome. I'm very happy for you.
I'm still at 82. I was at 81 last week. I think I just said 82. I was wrong probably the last time I mentioned it. I'm only human.
You're doing a great job.
But I've also...
You are. You're doing a great job.
Screw yourself, Jim. I mean, like I had, you know, more essays written than I had actually read. So there's also like two different numbers. Like right now, let me see, Bitcoin Brunch. There are...
I'm just waiting on this book to be published. So,
it's going to be a while.
So then there could be ads in it and so generate revenue.
Like I've got like 96 files in the folder. So that means that theoretically, like probably two or three of these are not going to be essays in the end. So it's going to be like 93 more.
Would you consider selling the essays kind of like comic books? So like each issue is maybe like two or three essays, and then you could sell ads inside of the issue. And then you could have
different cover art. Why are you doing this to me? Sell ads inside? Ads to what? Like the local prostitutes? Like it'll be like a back page.
Who accept Bitcoin? Yeah. But anyway, you have like different...
directly to this QR code. If
you have different cover art per issue. Well, if it's 100 essays, you could do like, what, 10 essays per issue?
No, so this is what it would more likely be. So... There's going to be like one book that I guess theoretically will have all of the essays by date, right? That's the way I'm like publishing them. It's like when I read them at Bitcoin Brunch. But then there could be like what you're suggesting, sort of like mini anthologies where rather than being by date, they could be by subject.
And people will collect them all.
Yeah, whatever. There can be all kinds of things. The problem is that designing and publishing these things is work, and I'm not really set up to take time off of my shitty fiat job to, you know, pursue life as a publishing writer.
Give me excuses right now. If you're going to do this, go big.
Go big.
Go big. Tell them, Panda. Go big.
I'm getting there. I'm 82 essays in, and tomorrow will be 83. And, you know, my goal is, you know, I should be finished with the 100. I'm transitioning into this other news that I wanted to share.
Yeah, exactly. If you get rich, you don't have to do the fiat job. Think about that.
due to encouragement that I've gotten from several people over time, I have uploaded all of the essays to GitHub. So now anyone who is interested in reading the essays, they can go to github.com/primitive1/the-musings And I think I'm probably going to...
You need a better URL.
Yeah, I'm going to have... I'm going to change it to bitcoin-brunch.com/essays.
The dash music. I typed in the dash music.
Yeah. So I'm going to change it to bitcoin-brunch.com/essays.
Thank God.
Yeah. But so now, the first 82 of 100 essays can now be read. The first edition, of these essays can now be read by anyone. And man, it was such a fucking bother to get these essays up.
You got a potty mouth today, huh?
So GitHub, I wrote all these essays in WordPad because WordPad is a rich text format. Word processor that, makes the text look like an essay, right? It allows me to indent the first word in a paragraph. If I want to change the size of the text, if I want to italicize or whatever, it's kind of got all that stuff in it.
Programmers don't care about that.
Right? So yeah, exactly. So this is the part of the story. So when I uploaded all of my essays to GitHub, they all came out ugly and unreadable because
giant block.
not a giant block. It was more like a long line that you'd have to scroll to the right to read.
Because there's no page breaks.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, okay, well, this is not gonna work out. So I had to figure out a way to fix it. So there's an application called Pandoc.
Somebody already forked it. Oh, okay, I see it.
Yeah, it was Michael.
2 hours ago.
Yeah, Michael did it. So there's an application called Pandoc, which is a a command line application. So you have to run it from the command line. And so what I did was I made a copy of all the essays and I put it in a folder that was in the C drive, right in the C drive. And then I used the Pandoc, which I had installed, to convert all of those files into a markdown file. So they became it changed the title of whatever, whatever the title was to from a .rtf to a .md. Okay, so that was all well and good. And then I uploaded that. And then I opened them and I'm like, oh crap. The Pandoc or something in the process inputted some sort of a header. And so now there's some little random text in the heading of all of the essays. So I had to go and, so at this point I'm annoyed as hell. Oh, but I had at least installed GitHub desktop. And so that made doing things a lot easier. Whatever. So finally I found a command prompt that made the Pandoc convert all of the RTF files to Markdown without the header, and everything is nice and pretty. And Michael, who was kind enough to subscribe or to whatever, to fork or whatever the hell he did to the musings repository, he found a typo and submitted a pull request, and I merged that pull request. So that was kind of fun, a little experience that I had.
I want to do that. GitHub. I'm going to read through all your shit and find all the mistakes.
Well, so there they are, and you can go ahead.
This game I'm playing, I keep finding these typos, and I'm like, oh my God, where's the quality control?
Well, that's why I've uploaded these, so that people like you, Chimp, can be my quality control.
But I'm gonna talk about them live on the air.
That's okay.
You messed up here.
So we're gonna have a segment. Is that what you need to write a jingle so that we can have a segment every week, and that'll keep us occupied for a while.
Oh my God, right in the first one I clicked.
Can you shut
up? Radical transparency, open source over iced. And you put, instead of site, you put ISGHT.
Oh my God.
Okay, let's do this on the fly. Let's do it live.
Do it on the fly. But you have to start from the beginning, not the end.
The first one I clicked.
Open source oversight. Oh, you're saying over isked. Over isked. Oh, so that's what I was going to say. So but I have to change it in the GitHub. That's the problem. I'm not set up right now to change it in the GitHub.
Can I be your editor too? Because this needs more periods.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, the idea is anyone could be my editor. It's GitHub. You can submit a pull request as you see fit, or you could create an issue. So WordPad does not have what did you call it? A spell check.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's rich text format, it doesn't have a spell check. So all the little mistakes that I've made, like I try to correct the mistakes when I read the essays, but sometimes I don't catch the mistake or sometimes I forget to change them. So, you know, that's another purpose of having this all there. So, let's see what comes of it. I've got another 18 essays to go and I've got, you know, like several that are in the process of, you know, I'm hoping to have one for tomorrow. I've got 12 more that are, you know, started or I have titles or something. And like, I'm thinking probably 8 of them will be created. So that leaves me with 10 more I need to come up with. And so, you know, let's see what happens. Hopefully people will start to get some interest in this.
I'm really excited about the issues now. I'm thinking about it.
Well, so that's, you know, like one thing I think is that in the GitHub, you can tag stuff. You can like add tags to things. So you could start, you know, you could start adding tags to the different essays. So that way we can start grouping them by the tags.
And then I could tag the ones that have audio versions of it and then upload it.
Well, I don't know about that, but that's a whole other project but I don't want to do audio versions until I kind of have like a sort of the finalized version of the essays. Cause the idea is that these are not the final version of the essays. These are just the first edition and they need to go through an editing process to be appropriate for publishing. Like, you know, a lot of these are kind of just, so I just have squeezed out.
I fork it and then I can edit my, I guess my repository.
I don't know.
And then you submit a pull request.
Something like that.
And then you, I guess, read it over.
Because I am the master of that domain. Like you have to submit a pull request and then I have to merge a pull request.
But are you master of your domain?
Yes, but because I am the master of my own domain, I don't have to submit pull, but I can also submit pull requests. It's kind of interesting. So if I made someone else a maintainer, because I think a maintainer is the person who chooses what version of what is like the true version. Like, but I am the main, anyways.
My head just exploded.
Yeah. You know, anyone who wants to help with the thing, you know, just go ahead and help me and it'll be cool. I put it under, I had to actually kind of think about this and look it up. I put it under the unlicensed because I am going to adhere to my strong anti-IP stance.
Wow.
And I'm just going to, you know, stick it out there and people do whatever the hell they want with it. But I will still claim to be the author.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I also wanted to mention the Time Chain Foundation. There's some ideas I had for like projects that the Time Chain Foundation can do. So I do want to have like a fund that we don't touch, you know, that like, so we'll have a certain portion of the funds that we're going to collect are going to go to running our projects. But I think it's very in line with Bitcoin for us to also have funds that we don't touch to sort of be an example for saving. Like, okay, we do things, you know, I want to help meetups and support meetups and I want to help educational efforts. But at the same time, I also want to encourage people to save. So we are going to save a portion of the Bitcoin that we collect, with the idea being that like in the future, when it's worth so much more, we will be able to spend like tiny little bits of it, but be able to do a lot. That's the long-term idea. But anyways, but with some of this Bitcoin, I thought it would be kind of interesting if we could do, and then so one of the ideas is to be a Lightning liquidity provider. So we could use some of our Bitcoin to provide services to the Lightning network and earn little bits of revenue from that. That would be kind of interesting. And then we could do it all in a very transparent and open manner so that people like members can consult and can provide their input and their criticism to their questions or suggestions. You know, we could do it as an educational experiment to also like teach people and more generally about how to run the Lightning Network and how, if they wanted to run their own nodes, like what kind of management they would have to do. So I think that would be kind of interesting. Like we could have a committee that was just dedicated to that. But another idea along the same lines is that we could be a coin join market maker.
What's that?
You don't know what a coin join is?
I know what a coin join is.
Okay, so in...
That sounds illegal.
There are three coin join implementations.
He gave a very cryptic smile.
If I understand correctly. And one of them is called Join Market. So in Join Market, basically all of the coin joins, they have makers and takers. So a maker, I think, is someone who is providing like providing a large amount of Bitcoin, and then takers are all submitting like little bits of Bitcoin into the CoinJoin.
Hmm. They have that same terminology in BISC. But okay, continue.
But it's probably a slightly different context.
It is. It is.
And
I just wonder where the maker taker.
Yeah, I need to look a little bit more into this.
But from what my understanding though
is that makers in the join market, they are earning Bitcoin for providing like more Bitcoin than the other people, whereas the takers are paying a little fee for the service that's being provided for them. I guess like the makers are more or less providing the liquidity for the. I need to look more into this, but the idea really stems from the fact that Aaron, who is one of our board members, he is a lawyer and he's written about the like free speech implications of Bitcoin as a publishing, you know, and as free speech. So I think it would be really cool to sort of put our, to test that, right? To test the free speech implications of Bitcoin by like literally having our organization do a coin join and asking the question of whether that's free speech or not. I'm not sure. To be explored, but it's just an idea that I had that I wanted to share.
Sounds cool.
Since you mentioned BISC, BISC has just announced that they've just launched BISC 2.0. So BISC 2.0, like one of the main features, I think, that's not necessarily ready yet, I'm not sure, but it's going to allow you to do atomic swaps between Bitcoin and Lightning and Liquid and the BISC token and Monero.
What's an atomic swap?
An atomic swap is basically where I'm probably not going to be completely accurate, but as far as I understand, it allows you to instantly switch from one token to another. And I assume that means that there has to be like liquidity for you to just pull from. So Samurai Wallet, they have atomic swaps between Bitcoin and Monero. I'm kind of interested to see how BISC 2.0 is launching this whole thing.
Because I think they do that now between Bitcoin and their token, the BSQ or whatever.
Yeah, they might do that. And
so I guess they're just expanding it to other ones.
Yeah, they're expanding it, and there's like several things that they're upgrading. I don't really know about all of the differences between the original BISC and what this one's doing, but I wanted to mention it because it's a project that I've long thought is interesting. And you know, they do have certain kind of questionable methodologies, like they've got like their BISC DAO and just sort of, you know, and they have their own native token, and all these little things are sort of like, okay, I mean, is this legitimate? Is it not legitimate? Hard to say. Interesting nonetheless. I'm not endorsing BISC, but I'm certainly endorsing you looking into it and doing your own research and coming to your own conclusions and boosting us with your opinions so that we can read on the air someday.
I wish I could hit the boost button, but
I've deleted it. Just to close up the show, there's a couple of more, you know, current
events. Current.
What happened to your voice?
I must have inhaled some helium. I think maybe one of the pipes under the floor burst, and now I'm all like, woo!
Sure, it's not COVID?
What happened?
I think you have COVID, dude.
I think I've got COVID.
What's going on?
My throat's been a little raspy lately.
What is wrong with you?
I am a robot.
I think we're going to have to end this show early because I think it's more than one brunch.
This chip is a goddamn asshole.
Brunch, are you able to breathe?
You gotta. Okay, finally back.
What happened?
What happened, Chimp? I don't know. You started throwing shit around. That's what happened. So the government is apparently on the verge of a shutdown again. And this is like the fifth time that we're on the verge of a shutdown in this Congress. Normally once upon a time, Congress would have passed a full budget like before the year started. You know, like usually you prepare a year ahead, but instead we are now going to be going into the third week of the third month of the year, and they still have not agreed to a budget. You know, they're doing this thing where, like, the Republicans are going to, they're passing like these individual budgets that they know that the Senate is not going to approve of. But for some reason they keep doing it anyways, because it's just like a voting issue, right? So it's a voting year. It's an election year, and they need to be able to tell their constituents like, oh, well, we passed a budget. So, you know, we'll see what's going to happen. Probably they're going to pass another continuing resolution is the most likely thing. It would be kind of insane if they passed continuing resolutions all the way to the election. And I think, as I've mentioned before, a continuing resolution is the equivalent of a budget cut, because all the departments work under the assumption that their revenue the next year is going to be higher than the revenue the previous year. So if your budget is frozen from one year to the next, that is, you know, in there, theoretically, a tax cut is, I mean, a budget cut. So, you know, interesting times in this country, as usual, as we approach this election with the...
But doesn't money keep getting sent to Ukraine?
No. The Congress has been debating $60 billion. Like, somehow they've settled on this number of $60 billion for 6 months now. They have not sent money to Ukraine.
Well, just the number is there, just not being sent.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so generally the way the government works is when they pass a bill. So they have passed, I think, like at least two bills prior to the one that they're trying to pass now. Like, those things don't tend to, like, it's not like from one night to the next. It tends to be like at least weeks, months, if not years, that these programs and funds get distributed. So, like, they do technically still have probably monies coming in from previous budgets. Because as I said, I mean, okay, they maybe it was last week or the week before, like, they gave up a city, but they just gave up a city because for whatever reason, that city was not strategic to them, but they're still able to maintain all their other cities they have. So they've got lots of resources, just apparently not enough ever. And the final thing that I wanted to mention tonight, unfortunately not happy news. You know, it would be good to start ending the show on good news. I do try to end in like a more upbeat or not so negative thing, but...
You want to have a good news segment?
not necessarily a good news segment, but just, you know, like a happy closing. But unfortunately, you know, one of our nearby countries, Haiti, they're going through some pretty crazy crap right now. They have an interim prime minister who, I don't know, like, he appointed himself or something. And basically there's like this, you know, this militia leader. I think he's called Barbecue. And he is essentially threatening to fight against. So this is the thing. The international community is trying to get this interim prime minister to step down. So they've got him to agree to step down once a board of foreign officials chooses a new interim prime minister. So it's, you know, it's like, it's basically a coup of sorts, like an international coup. Like, the international community is going to install a new government in Haiti. And the one of the requirements is that this new prime minister allow the UN to invade Haiti, because this guy, like, Barbecue has said that I have to wonder if this is not just like a psyop, because this guy Barbecue, he's always in like some shitty poor community and he's just wearing a bulletproof vest and he's just like, we're not going to accept what the international community shoves down our throats. Whatever. So one way or the other, there's unfortunately going to be continued strife and discord in Haiti. And I do wish them the best, and I hope they're able to overcome this some way, somehow. It's sad. Like, I remember Paco de la India had gone to Haiti looking for Bitcoiners, and he wasn't really able to find any. And I really do think, like, Haiti needs Bitcoin. But I don't know if they're emotionally ready for it, because, man, it's just a messed up country. They've been so screwed over by the international community, and they continue to be screwed over by the international. I mean, there's obviously some sense in what Barbecue's saying, you know, like, he's like, you guys are just going to put together a board of politically appointed, unelected people who are going to pick a prime minister for our country. And he has to allow the UN to send troops. Like, it's an invasion. It's a coup and it's an invasion, a foreign invasion. So I'm not really going to hold it against him that he's saying we're going to fight you guys. I don't support violence, but it's, you know, if it was different circumstances and, you know, we would totally be supporting it.
Do they have a choice?
Does who have a choice?
Does the Haitians have a choice? Who don't want the international coup?
Yeah, the fight, I guess. It's the fight. That seems to be the choice. Because they're not going to have an election anytime soon, I guess. You know, their last president got assassinated. Poor guys. So, you know, Haiti, you're in my prayers. You're in my thoughts. I'm hoping the best. There's a lot of potential. You know, there's a lot of potential in the Caribbean. Tons of natural resources. They've got...
You sound like such a colonialist.
They've got...
There's a lot of potential here. Look at all these natural resources.
No, but I'm not saying like potential for us to exploit them, but like potential for them to become self-sufficient and to be able to engage in free, productive trade with the rest of the world instead of like this exploitive, you know, like trade that always provides profits to multinational corporations, but seems to just extract profits away from the local communities. That's what I mean by potential.
So we're just going to have like half the world blow up and then everyone starts back with mercantilism.
Maybe, but I don't want mercantilism. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got Bitcoin now, so we could just do free markets. Like, we're probably going to have some mercantilism, but mercantilism didn't necessarily ever go away.
But even with Bitcoin, like, you're still going to have people who have more Bitcoin than others.
Of course.
And they'll be running the bigger corporations.
Yeah, but if those corporations are productive, then they are able to earn more Bitcoin through being productive. Like, if they continue to rely on like monopolies and government violence, then that's also possible. But I think it's going to be more costly to do that if there are other forces in the world who are choosing to value Bitcoin and to use Bitcoin as a store of value versus the current situation where most of the planet is essentially forced into using the United States dollar as a store of value. So this is... I think, you know, if we start to change that equation, yes, it doesn't fix the world overnight, doesn't fix all the problems with economics and with greed, but it does rebalance some of the incentives and the ability for people to be able to engage in, I think, what are unjust and inefficient and unproductive activities.
Are you saying you want to buy some Bitcoin?
I'm saying Bitcoin is savings.
And that's another Saturday Night Lit, March 16th, 2024.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you guys next week. Coming to you live from Bitcoin Grove Storage Closet. This has been Captain Brunch.
And this is Chimps signing out. Peace.